May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. There are many new technologies that I really love, but I think the one that I love more than anything else is GPS. When I was in college, I worked at a newspaper, and this was in the days before anybody had thought GPS should be anything more than a military thing. And I remember many, many, many days spent driving with one eye on the road, one eye on the map, one eye on the speedometer. You can see the problem here, right? GPS was such a godsend because now when I go to places I've never been before, and I do that a lot, I have a little voice in the car saying, take a left turn a quarter mile ahead. Now take a right turn. It means that I no longer either take the right turn when I should take the left turn, end up in a dead end, or worse, almost hit the car in front of me because I'm trying to figure out how far away I am from my destination. I love GPS. And the Holy Spirit so totally does not work like GPS, I can't even begin to tell you. If you, in our gospel today, Jesus promises the disciples who are frightened and worried that they will not know what to do next, that the Holy Spirit will come and guide them and teach them. He promises them that they will not be left orphaned, that the Holy Spirit will remind them of all he has said. And this applies to us too, because we continue to follow Jesus and we continue to be his disciples. So the Holy Spirit has promised to us to guide us in our lives. But if we were hoping for a kind of spiritual GPS, we are going to be bitterly disappointed. Because the Holy Spirit works more like Dirk Gently's method of navigation. In his book, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, Douglas Adams introduces this method of navigation in which Dirk Gently, who is a private detective, chooses to get to the places he needs to go by getting into his elderly Jaguar, heading out on the road, picking out a car that looks like it knows where it's going, and following it. As the author says, he very rarely ended up where he intended to go. But he always ended up where he needed to be. It has been my experience that that's what the navigation system of the Holy Spirit looks like. Not like a road map that tells me to take a left turn ahead or which way to go when I come to that next intersection, but more like getting behind someone who looks like they know where they're going and ending up not where I intended to go, but where I needed to be. Following the Holy Spirit is not like having a road map for our lives. One that tells us exactly what the plan is and in which we can know where the left turns are and when we have arrived at our destination, where we can say, aha, here's the destination, and then plot a route to that place. Following the Holy Spirit is about holding up our choices and our decisions, looking at the life and teachings of Jesus and asking the Spirit to whisper to us where we have come closest to making those two match. In prayer and in reflection, we think about where was my choice, what Jesus might have done, and where was my choice not at all in keeping with what he taught through the Gospels. God does indeed have a vision and a destination for us. But I think it has less to do with what we do or what, where we end up, and more about how ready we are when we get where we need to be. How ready we are to respond the way God teaches us to respond. And that means sometimes we take wrong turns. Sometimes we find ourselves in dead ends. We find ourselves thinking we're going to go one place and ending up not anywhere near there. But that's okay, because that's how the Holy Spirit has always worked. If you read the Acts passage today, just the passage printed and appointed for today, you might get the idea that Paul had a spiritual GPS, that God said, okay, go over there. Yes, good job, Paul. Excellent. Now move over here. But if you read a couple of verses before that, you'll discover that before Paul ever went to Macedonia, first he tried to go to Asia and couldn't get there. Had to make a long detour through Galatia. And then he decided to go to Bithynia and couldn't get there either. He was prevented and stopped from getting there. Only then did he get a vision from a man from Macedonia who said, come on over to Macedonia, come to Philippi. So he decides, what the heck, give that a try. Haven't managed to get those other places. And that works great. But notice something. Nowhere does Paul meet a man from Macedonia. Paul's success does not look like he expects it to. Because the person Paul meets when he arrives in Macedonia is a woman. It's a woman who, as it turns out, is one of the least likely people Paul would have looked for. Because she's obviously independent, wealthy, and worships God. All three things that are not exactly common in the ancient world. And it would have been very easy for Paul to have gone looking for the man from Macedonia and walked right past her. But Paul knows something about following the Holy Spirit, and one of which is that the Holy Spirit is constantly doing unexpected things. That he often ends up not where he intended to go, meeting the people who are not the people he intended to meet. But does always end up where he needs to be, meeting the people God has sent unexpectedly, completely out of the blue, and yet, together, something wonderful happens. Following the Holy Spirit, for us and for Paul, is not actually a linear process of getting the next direction and then doing it and having what you expect to happen, and then figuring out the next step. It's a process of stopping and listening and looking back. Because the Holy Spirit's guidance is often only truly visible in hindsight. It's often only when we stop and pray and say, Lord, this is what I have done, this is what I have tried to do, that it becomes truly visible where God is working in our lives, where the Holy Spirit has led us forward, and where we have stubbornly taken the right turn where we really ought to have taken the left at Albuquerque. It is only when we stop and pray and listen to one another and to the Holy Spirit that we can truly see how we are being guided, not into a foreordained plan of where we ought to go, but into being the kind of people who can live fully into the teachings of Jesus, being the kind of people who can listen to God's indwelling Spirit whisper to us, love more, care more, give more, be compassionate, try this because someone is in need. It has less to do with where we end up and more to do with how we get there. Listening to the Holy Spirit may or may not send us on the roads we expect to travel by. It may or may not get us to where we intended to go. But the Holy Spirit always sees to it that we end up where we need to be. And more importantly, that when we get there, we're ready to be there.
Amen.